A week has ended and a week has begun, our God. And here your children gather, siblings in Christ, together to worship and to praise and to offer thanks, to lift up prayers, to ponder you and each one's life of faith and the life of faith that St. Peter's extends and shares. For all that we have poured out into the world and for all that we anticipate pouring out into the world this coming week, here we are. Fill us, we pray. Fill us again from the very bottom of us to the very top of us. Fill us with grace and with courage and with hope. Fill us with wisdom and with forbearance, with patience. Fill us with the deep gladness that is ours because of you in our life. Fill us with purpose and with strength. Fill us so that we are ready and able. Fill us so that when there are those that are in dire need, we can pour ourselves into them. Fill us so that we lack for nothing, and so that when the world sees us, we shine. We are a light. We are salt. We are full of you, with much on our hearts and on our minds. We bring before us those persons and those places and those situations. We bring to mind that which grieves our heart, that makes us sad, that bows us down. We're mindful of illness traveling worldwide. We're mindful of scientists and physicians working with diligence and care to care for those who are ill and to prevent illness from spreading. We're mindful of those who pick up weapons and who use those weapons in warfare, those who shoot and others who die, those who are shot at. We grieve for the hearts of those who live with the death of others. We grieve for those whose death is grieved by others, and for leaders who are part of those decisions, and for soldiers everywhere. We bring to mind warfare and death and destruction and all of the things that make for war. And we pray for peace. We pray for that day when every weapon is set aside, where there are no more bombs or bullets, where there is no enmity between persons or nations or peoples. We pray that fervent prayer, knowing that it may not come in our lifetime, but knowing that our lives show forth that prayer and so place peace within our hearts. Move us ever closer to that space where we are peaceful toward our enemies and where our enemies join us in peaceful conversation and where we are those who help lead others who are enemies to a place of safety and rapprochement and peace. We pray this day for our leaders everywhere in this community, in this state, in our nation, and throughout the world. We pray for all who lead in family and in church and synagogue and temple and mosque and every place of worship. We pray for those who lead in villages and towns and cities and states and municipalities and counties in every state of this nation and across this continent, across the water and every other nation and place and clime. And we pray that every leader, even those here in this space today, remember always that they serve the public good. And that although not every leader everywhere calls you by the name that we call you, O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move them, for it is in them and beside them and all around them. We pray that that Spirit will move them to wisdom and self-control and graciousness and gratitude. For all that's on our heart and on our minds this day, prepare us finally and always to receive the sacrament of communion, that your way in our life, remembered so deeply that it transforms us and resurrects us, will again this day do that very thing. For this and more we pray in your holy name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
And now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart find acceptance in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our stay. Amen. I have three sets of words for you. Write them down.
Find a scribbler. And there's space on your bulletin, I think. Notes somewhere on the back. So here's the first set of words. Security and survival.
Security and survival. And the second set, affection and esteem. And the third set, power and control. Security and survival, affection and esteem, power and control. Now drop back down into the scripture that we just read, that we just heard proclaimed. And in those three temptations, there are these three human needs. Do you hear them echoed in those three temptations? For these three phrases or six words describe our human needs. We all have a human need for these sets of postures. We all need bread. We all need drink. And if we don't get bread and drink, these bodies of ours shrivel up and they just fly away. We all need affection and esteem. We want to be able to risk and try and test. We want to chase after that thing. We want to take risks. It's a risk to tell someone that we love them. It's a risk to move on in education to acquire a vocation. It is a risk to seek affection and to receive esteem. So we're all up on that high place. We're all up on that lofty location as Jesus was. And every one of us need power and we need control. You may have noticed that when I arrive at a new place, I need to nest. I need to create my nest. Maybe some of you are like that. When I arrive at a new place, I need to put my books in the bookcase, and I need to take my pen set and put it on the desk, and I need to clear the files of the stuff that's old and archived and get rid of that so that what can go in those files is fresh and new. I need to take my clothes and I need to put them away, and I need to have my pots and pans and my cooking knife. I need to nest. It's one of the first things that I did when I arrived here at St. Peter's. That's about power and control. It's a small example, but we all have our need for power and control. And so Jesus, too, was invited to have power and control. over everything. In Matthew's gospel, in this telling of the gospel story, there is a tension in this story, and it's perhaps described this way. There is the invitation to live one's life with desire for these human needs, and desire for these human needs alone. And that's described by Matthew as the kingdom of this world. And the leader of the kingdom of this world, says Matthew, is Satan, or the devil, or Beelzebul, or Belial, or the prince of darkness. Lots of different names, but all the same incarnated character. The one who says the most important thing in life is survival and affection and power. Seek those things always. And when you acquire them, hold on to them, grasp them, put your arms around them, hold them tight, and never let them go. And when someone says, these are not first in your life, defend them with all of your might. When someone says, share your bread with others, say, no, I can't share my bread with others. I need to take care of myself first. When someone says, offer your affection to others, say, I can barely manage myself. I barely have enough affection for me and for my spouse or my loved ones or my dearest and closest friends. How might I ever share affection otherwise? No, I'm holding on to that affection with all of my might and strength. And when someone says, release power and release control, let someone else have a turn, we say instead, I am the only one. I am the only one. No one else has the skills that I have. No one else has the voice. No one else has the bow tie, quite like this bow tie. I dare not release power or control. I dare not give it away, because if I do, everything will disintegrate. Everyone will be upset. Nothing will be okay. It will all go away. I'm being a little bit extreme, can you tell? Are you recognizing yourself in any of this? Are you recognizing the work of the church itself in any of this? And if you are, then it is just simply stating that this is true life, because all of us, and the community of faith included, lives in the tension of the kingdom of this world and is tempted all of the time to desire first and to desire always those things which make for these basic human needs. And Matthew says, but there is instead something more than this. There is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is known to those who have received it by the words and the example of the risen Christ, says Matthew. And whenever a basic human need for survival or for affection or for power rises up and says, desire me, hold on to me, the one who is also living in the kingdom of God, who has allegiance there first, they say, does this action, will this choice love God with all one's heart and soul and might? Will one's action, will one's choice love one's enemy and pray for those who persecute? Will one's action and one's choice include the neighbor and the stranger? Will one's actions and one's choice plant God's love and nurture it and grow it? When the answer is yes, then one is living first in the kingdom of God, even though life is in the kingdom of this world. And when one answer is no, or when the question is not even asked, then, friends, we have at that very moment given into the temptation of the one who is the guardian of the kingdom of this world. And we are fully and completely fenced in and held tight in the arms of the one who would say that only survival and affection and power matter. And there is only and always allegiance to those and only those things. We are captured when we do not ask, when the thought does not occur to us, when we are not stepping forward with that great prayer. But when we are, when our allegiance is in the kingdom of God first, and Jesus' instruction to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might, to love our neighbor as ourself, Matthew taking that a step further and telling us that Jesus said to love one's enemies, to love one's enemies, to forgive them, and to pray for those who persecute. Ah, when we are moving into that space, then there is nothing that we cannot accomplish or do in this kingdom of the earth. We will receive all that we need, bread and drink. We will experience affection and esteem. And we will know power and might, all of it in its right proportion, all of it in service to God's purposes, not our own. And so, friends, celebrate, celebrate, because you who are here have one foot in the kingdom of this earth, but you also have the other in the kingdom of God. Know that that place of being is your true life. And in that place of being, you will always experience true life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.